Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 302, part 1, Generous. Today is Friday, July 26, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's tape is entitled, Generous. We've been ministering on the fruit of the Spirit for I think about 5 weeks now. And Friday we ministered on kindness, not just a phony smile, hi, how are you? I love you in Jesus, kindness. You ever hear somebody say that? I love you in Jesus. What does that mean? You love me? Do you hate me in the natural? Do you hate my guts or what? What does that mean? No, not that kind of kindness. I'm talking about the spirit of kindness. Not a, let's say, self-made wax fruit kindness that would melt under heat, under pressure, and that would show up with a look. My mother used to say, well, if looks could kill, I would be dead. Or a word. Sometimes we, when we're acting on our own kindness, we can give that long, hard, mean, quick look, or a quick look, or a long, hard, mean one, or we can let a word slip out. Oops, where did that come from? Guess. Or an action. Some kind of an unlovely, unkind, very ungenerous deed. And so today let's look at generosity, another byproduct, if you will, of the main product, love. We said love was the tree of life, Jesus Christ, and all the fruit that came, the love and good temper and kindness and so on. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. So anyway, let's look at generosity. I said another byproduct of the main product, love. And notice then that of the nine, six are related to our attitudes towards one another. Love, I said the tree, Jesus Christ, good temper, and we all have one. It's either good or it's bad. We all have a temper, and we all have tension. Remember last Sunday we ministered, if you didn't have tension, you'd be on like a person on drugs. You have to have tension to move. And kindliness, which is the salt, it's right in the middle, so that's the salty one. It sort of salts up the other ones, and without that, there is no savor to it. Generosity, fidelity, and gentleness. But as you'll notice, only three refer to ourselves alone. Joy, that's the thing you have. And you have it all alone. You can share it, but you have it all alone. And that's a direct product of being grafted into the vine. And then we have peace, which comes from joy. Remember we said, if you had a good gut buster, a good laugh, what happens at the end of that good laugh? All the tension is gone. And you just sit down and you have peace. It says, peace like a river. And then we have self-control. So those three refer to ourselves alone. And so it kind of looks like we should be twice as much interested in others as ourselves. I'm going to put these tapes out, and I'm thinking about putting them on cable TV. Now, in order to catch the world with it, you'd have to say, 9 steps to success, or something like that. How to get out of having nervous fits, and you'd have to put all the different, you know, relate to all the people's illnesses, and they'd buy that. And so we're other interested instead of self-occupied. What a tremendous bore that is to be self-occupied. You have time for no one else, and you get sick. Do you feed on yourself a lot of times? And maybe it's because you're good-looking and you're always grooming yourself, and even if you aren't. And you're always grooming yourself, and you're always preparing yourself, and you're always getting ready. And you're occupied mainly with yourself, you get sick. Do you ever get sick of yourself? I have. But I think anyway, most of us do well to go 50-50 with the thing. Jesus said, love our neighbors as ourselves. And so here, self-interest and other interest are balanced. Paul said, and I to the interest of others as well as his own. And there's balance again. Without that balance, you're unbalanced. And so when we fully surrender to the Spirit, and someone called me on this and said, when we fully do this, do we become lopsided? Do we become fanatical? Does going the second mile make us suckers? Do we become unrealistic? And I answered, no. I said, but only when you cross over in full surrender, sir, will you understand. And that's a trip and a road you have to take all by yourself. And if you'll follow what we've been preaching here and be willing then to go through the suffering of gaining that, first the suffering and then the joy, first the growth and then the fruit, if you're willing to grow in this, and if you're willing to fully surrender, you'll understand. The more that we love others, the more we love ourselves. When you're kind to someone else, you're being kind to yourself. And if you are discouraged, and if you are depressed, and if you're sitting down and you're playing old records, getting all melancholy, thinking about the way things used to be and how they could have been, and you get introverted, and you get self-occupied, and you get, and of course that'll make you depressed, and you get depressed then, one way to get out of it, go out and give someone else a kindness. And you get over your discouraged feelings. You get over those defeated feelings. Now, I'm not saying it isn't a battle, because the flesh is always warring against the spirit, and we're talking about spiritual things here, fruit of the spirit. But if you will do that against what your frontal lobes, your flesh is telling you not to do, and go ahead and do it, you will be more than overcomers, the Bible says, through Christ, and it works. To love, in other words, then, is to live. In other words, the loving are the living in themselves. And be careful, by the way, that you don't love others for yourself. Sometimes we do that. We love this person, we love them, and they have to love us back. If they don't love us back, well then, okay for you then. See, you're the better for giving out the love. Even if it isn't received, you're the better. That's when you start to gain a healthy outlook and even physical health. In other words, if your eye is generous, good. The whole body will become illuminated. Matthew 6 and 22. If your eye, the way you see it, the Bible says, see no man after the flesh. The way you look at life or look on life, your way of seeing people, your way of seeing situations is then generous. You're not so quick to judge. Then you see, your whole person is lighted up, illuminated. Even your thinking gets clear. Jesus was generous, the Bible says, towards the poor, the meek, the sinful, and the unlovely. Well, what does it profit a man to love someone and pray for someone or whatever if they love him? How about somebody that hates you? Bible says Jesus was the light. John 1 and 4 through 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man, it says, sent from God, whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. We're talking about Jesus here. When you receive the tree of life, Jesus Christ, when you receive the light, when you're lit up on the inside and you start to grow in the soil of love and you start to bear fruit, there is a reaction. There is the new wine of the Spirit that comes on. And you start to change, friend. Whether you like it or not, there is a war going on. And you find yourself doing the things you used to hate and hating the things you used to do. But there is always growth there. So now Jesus generates that light generously with us. We began, in other words, to see everything and everybody with a generous eye, a good eye, or an eye for seeing good. What kind of an eye do you have? You're listening on the radio. What kind of an eye do you have? An eye for seeing bad, a fault-finding eye, an unkind eye, an ungenerous eye, a bad temper eye? Well, pray about it. Because Jesus will give you a generous eye. Usually when you see yourself, then you're ready to have a generous eye towards someone else. And so the Holy Spirit there reveals you first. And so a generous eye, don't you see, sees a person saved and healed and changed and happy before they are. That's like going down on the hobo bus. you better have a generous eye, or you'll get irritated. Isn't that right? You have to pray about having that generous eye. So when you get down there, you have to have a generous eye. And I mean a kindly eye and a generous... Now, someone comes against you and says something against your character or your person, it'll show up if you're not moving in the fruit of the Spirit. It'll show up because you'll start to rebel. How dare you? You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Not that you'll let somebody come up and just totally wipe you out to prove that you're a Christian. And there's a lot of people trying to prove they're a Christian by taking a lot. See, there's a fine line there. And you know, and Jesus knows. A generous eye, I said, sees people saved, no man after the flesh, happy, changed before they are. The Bible says Jesus sat with sinners. He saw them with a generous eye. God of all had such a generous eye that he sat with sinners. And so then Jesus gave us a very generous salvation. Abundant, the Bible says. Everlasting, the Bible. Uttermost, the Bible says. Having a generous eye then will generate generosity in others. What you do is going to be returned back to you. Now, you act kindly towards someone, they're going to act kindly back. Now, if they don't, you still are going to be the receiver, because it's the act that you do that's going to reap a harvest for you somewhere down the line. You on the radio, you read Romans 13, 8 through 10. But going on, the generous eye or generous attitude makes us vessels for God's generosity. God can work through you. Freely, freely have I given to you, freely give it away. And that's what we're going on in this ministry. The more we receive, the more we have to give away. Well, where's the reward? Where's the thanks? A guy called me the other day and says, listen, we're a troop and we come through and we do evangelism and so on like that. And we're looking for people to sponsor us. We understand that you're a very vibrant church in the Minneapolis area and so on like that. And I said, may I stop you here, sir? We do not have a large congregation. There wouldn't be a big collection for you down here. Oh, I see. Okay, well, fine then. I said, most of my ministry is out on the street for the poor. End of conversation. See? And not judging the fellow, but he missed it. Because if he had a generous eye, he would have went for that. He said, well, that doesn't matter. Well, let's go down there and let's just see what... I am interested in what you're doing. From what I heard, I'd like to become involved with it just a little bit while I'm in town. Do you think it would have paid off? I know it would have paid off. I know it pays off to have a generous eye. I know that. Even if you only have a few dollars, sometimes have that generous eye towards someone that doesn't have any money at all. It pays off. You feel kindly toward yourself for giving out kindness and for being generous. You feel that spirit in you working. Now, I know some of you have felt that already. Freely, freely we have received, freely do we give away. Freely give. And you can read Luke 10, 25 through 29. And so does being a generous man mean we shouldn't claim our own? No. If I had my life to live over, I would claim my own. Ramoth and Gilead is ours. And we be still and take it not. 1 Kings 22 and 3. Ahab, you see, at his best was not much of a man. And it is true that he had a very heavy handicap. He was married to a hurricane named Jezebel. Hurricane Jezebel. Now, I know the women libbers hate that when you name hurricanes and storms and things after them. But anyway, he was married to a hurricane, Hurricane Jezebel. And I believe she would have cut the character and the career of the strongest man. And so naturally, a weakling like Ahab had no chance at all. He probably couldn't make up his mind what clothes to wear without asking Jezebel. A bound-up worrier. A bound-up worrier. Are you listening on the radio? Are you a bound-up worrier? Are you a person that has to dump on people all the time your worries? Getting kind of quiet on the radio. There's nothing worse than a bound-up worrier that is afraid to make a decision. I so appreciate people that are able to make decisions. Like when you bought this airline thing. That must have been a heavy decision. Wasn't it? But you made it. And then that you made the decision, you had to make it work. Oh, don't be a bound-up worrier. But even Ahab can't avoid a certain amazed indignation at the very foolishness of his own conduct, as well as that of his brother, Ramoth, in Gilead is ours, he declares. Well, then he continues, and in substance, here's what he means. He's saying like this, but in spite of our ownership, we are no richer, because we be still and take it not. I mean, it's ours for the taking. And even this wimpy, wishy-washy type of a personality can see that. Here it is for the taking, and we're not taking it. Now, Ahab isn't the only one guilty of this type of foolishness. During the war, they would torture prisoners by offering them a drink and then pulling it back, time after time after time. And the food, they did the same thing, endless torture. But I'll tell you something, there is even a worse hell even than that. When we can have it, but we don't claim it, we don't take it, when it's offered. Have you ever had the opportunity to have something and then you balked on it? You didn't take it? You hesitated? And then later you said, oh, why didn't I do it? So-and-so's got it now. Now is not the time for balking. Now is the time to see when things come your way. Well, then you say, yes, that's mine. Will you take this? Yes. Will you take, you're building a house, will you take this whole lumber pile here? Oh, gee, I don't know, it cost me quite a bit. I'll have to rent out a truck or I'll have to, and then I don't have time and so on like that. And well, I don't know now. And then a guy comes along, I'll take it. Have you ever done that? Hesitated and then someone else got the prize? Have you listening on the radio? Somewhere in your life you hesitated and now you're living that nightmare. You hesitated and that's where you're at today because you hesitated and then you just keep right on hesitating. Well, you can get out of that right away, right now. You can stop thinking about what you didn't get and go for what's right now. He who hesitates, and I mean you have to be choosy in this thing by prayer. He who hesitates is a loser. Pastor, we got 14 trailers full of food. Can you take it? Give me 30 seconds. Usually I'll put the phone down. If I got two trucks out there and then they're calling, say, I'll just, do one of these shots. Can you hold the line just a minute? And then our little song plays. Drives them crazy on the other end. And then I'll walk back and forth and back and forth a while and come back. Yeah, send it over. Don't hesitate too long. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. What does that mean? That means if a person's going to give you a horse, don't look to see if the teeth are real good. That's an insult. If someone gives you something, don't say, oh, I wonder how good it is. I wonder if the trailer load of food is 10% rotten. I'm going to have to dump it all, and I just hate that. It gets all yucky, icky, icky, poo. And after all, no one wants to do that. And they stink, and the flies and the bees. Ooh. Don't look a gift... Open it up. Phew. Huh? Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Somebody gives you something. Don't look. Check the teeth out. Well, I don't know about this. You can at least make a pot of glue out of it. But isn't that true? We hesitate and we find fault. We can become very unkind and very ungenerous in our speech. I said there is a worse hell even than them prisoners. When we have it, but we don't claim it when it is offered for one reason or another. I think the man that misses life's prizes needlessly has the additional torture of having nobody else to blame but himself. I like to watch people in their decisions, especially coming out of some kind of money myself, when it involves dumping cash flow in, when it's doubtful. We're so afraid of losing. Huh? Well, gee, how will I look? Well, how will you look to yourself if you don't do it? How will you feel about yourself if you don't do it? I mean, the tortured soldier at least had the consciousness that he was doing his best under the circumstances. But I believe the man who will not claim his own adds to the pains of his failure by further pain. That, you see, his failure is his own fault. Why didn't I do that? If only I would have bought... You ever hear people say, 10 years ago I had the opportunity to buy that whole block there for $9,995.17. And now it's worth $1 million, so I could kill myself. Well, don't let me stop you. Now, I know someone on the radio will take that wrong. It's getting so you can't even have any fun anymore. You can't be generous in your conversation. You have to guard every void. Be careful you don't offend somebody. And it says in the Bible, those that love my word will not be offended. Look at the treasures in America. Just look at them. Freedom, opportunity, physical well-being, plenty of food, education, rights. Nowhere in the world can you walk around with a sign and your fist up or you're driving a tank or whatever and command your rights And I think that's right, but nowhere else can you do it. I think, though, that the most beautiful, the most precious treasure that is open to us is the treasure of a Christ-like character. To put on, the Bible says, Christ. The Bible says Jesus believed in God, and his friends knew it. Well, I'm not doing these things of myself. These things, you see, me do, I do of the Father. And his enemies knew it. And when he hung on the cross, all his murderers could say of him was, he trusted in God. Jesus could not be shaken. And the Bible says he also believed in man. Wow. One swore he didn't know him. One betrayed him with a kiss. Yet the Bible says he believed in man. All deserted him. And in his hour of need, and yet he never lost faith in them. Jesus will never lose faith in you. His generous eye, the Bible says, saw them as a church that the gates of hell should not prevail against. And also he faced the fact that though some men were lost, every one of them, even the worst, had in them the makings of a saint. Believing then that every man might become Christ-like. And he also knew every man might do a Christ-like work. He was generous because he had the light. He had so much light he could see beyond. There was no shadows, no doubtful thinking in it at all. He could see beyond the man. He could see in the spirit. That's the way we have to become. Have a generous eye towards people. He said, he that believeth in me. Wow. The works that I do, shall he do also. It's like he said to Abraham long ago. I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. Every one of us has the capacity for possessing, I'm saying here, a Christ-like character and rendering a Christ-like service. Every one of us. We also have the possibilities as a group. Isn't that wonderful? We have all those capabilities, possibilities, then capabilities, and then doabilities. We all have that. All we have to do is to obey the Lord. Now, I'm not going to mince words here, even though that I see myself caught in betwixt two things here. You must be keep on ministering, isn't that right? Well, marriages fail that way. Why? Because of ignorance. The Bible says, and oftentimes when I do marriage ceremonies, we'll get into that. Love overlooks all things, bears all things, endures all things. But you see, it never fails. But when the love wears off, you start to find fault. All right? That's the beginning. That's the unfruitfulness that comes of it, is divorce. No, I never knew you had such large ears before. My, what a long, large nose you have. And we start to get unkind with one another. We start to pick on those little things and find fault. And we start walking in the flesh, start seeing men after the flesh, the long nose, the big toe that crosses over the other four. Well, I mean, it's true. It's true. It just starts out like that. Getting kind of flabby around the middle, aren't you? And, hey, you're wearing an inner tube or what? These kind of things, see? You know, now, they sound kind of little, but they're not little. Can't you do something with your hair? No, I'm bald. And those kind of things. And even though we're going to church and we're praising the Lord and we're doing all of these things, we're not the same way at home. We're very unkind. Well, we have to be kind out there where we're making our bucks. Because people wouldn't understand if we said, "Oh, shut up, fatty." But see, when we get home, we can do whatever we please. They have to understand because you're putting the meat and potatoes on the plate. Don't you forget. And if they don't say it, they say it by their very actions. They're just not polite anymore. And so it starts to wane and it starts to fall and it starts to slide and it starts to slip, slide in a way, huh? It's the same way in the body of Christ when someone comes in. Let's call her Mrs. Agnes Faultfinder. And she finds something wrong with Sunday school. Well, everybody ought to go to Sunday school. But I mean, hey, have you ever seen that floor down there? Are you ever seen it? And the pictures. And why don't they do this? And why don't they do that? And so on like that. And they gather a group. And then the group becomes unkind and has a very ungenerous eye. Oh, how we need to keep a generous eye. Love overlooks all things. Bears all things. Endures all things. See, it gets builds. Endures all things. Never takes into account a wrong suffered. See? No, if we just start to practice these things. I mean, even if it's practicing them and you don't even know what you're doing. That's why people learn how to walk. They don't know what they're doing. They got these old spaghetti legs, these kids. You know what I mean? Huh? But they practice until they can do it. Practice makes perfect. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but spiritual exercise profits you a whole lot. Your own well-being. It takes you out of the fear of man, what they might think. Ooh. And so we have possibilities as a group. Well, we have a strong church here. It is being watched. Even being watched in Washington. They came down here. But you know what? Washington had a generous eye. They've seen every kind of shim sham. Praise God for them. I know it's a contributing factor to the well-being of people. But we have not achieved our best. There are many possibilities that we can claim. There are going to be possibilities coming our way all of the time, and we've got to have the mental attitude, and we've got to be walking in the Spirit. I'm not talking about a flotation, long gown, prophesy over my head type of thing. I'm talking about realistic, having your eyes open, having your heart enlightened by the gospel of Jesus Christ that will give you a discernment when the gift horse comes, that you just receive it. Well, on your deal, that was worth much more. Well, I mean, it was a gift horse. You could have looked it in the mouth, right, Kent, and then just lost it. Possibilities are it can develop into a very beautiful, wonderful, self-satisfying type of thing because you made a decision. God. No, we have not achieved our best. A church without a spot or without a wrinkle is a church that's not old and worn out. It's always getting washed all the time, and you always got to iron the wrinkles out of it. It doesn't just stay in the closet and get moth holes all over it and dust. In other words, a church that measures up to its possibilities is glorious in its youthfulness. It never gets old. It's always got something new going on. Oh, what's going on now? Huh? You almost irritate people sometimes. No, what are you doing now? And then suppose we start putting that parking lot in there. I have to admit this. Lord knows me. I love to irritate some. I mean, it is a fault. I know that. But I suppose I will be out there with a shovel. Now, not that I'm going to be doing anything with that shovel. There'll be equipment out there. But I just kind of like to overlook things. Oh, folks, that's how I get my fun. Come on now. Now, we haven't achieved our best. A church that has that spirit of adventure. Don't you like to do adventurous things? I remember when we were kids, we used to walk across the Sioux River Falls there, and the falls were shooting over these falls, we were shooting, and it was about up to our knees, and you had to walk into the rocks like this and go across this big falls. And there was only one spot there if you could fall in and be safe. The rest of it was all rocks below. My mother knew that, she would have died right there. And we'd be walking like this, and the water hitting out like, or wait till the train was coming. Woo! This is a long time ago. Woo! The train was coming, you know. We'd wait till it just got up so far. And then we'd have to run these railroad ties across the water, whatever it was. And say, okay, go! And then we'd run like everything on these things. Just barely make it to the other side, roll in the ditch laughing. Ah! Boy, you are a dumb kid. I didn't say I was smart. I said I love the spirit of adventure. I love to do adventurous things. Don't you? Take a chance. Pray about it. Go ahead and do something. Yeah, I think we can handle it. We'll pray about it. See, the world doesn't understand that when you say your prayer about it, so don't make it more than a 30-second prayer. Should I? Yes. Okay. A spirit of adventure. How rich we would be if we would only claim the wealth that is really ours.
That was episode 302, part 1, Generous. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a beautiful weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are.
you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preaching spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.